You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Beck Anderson. Beck, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, so happy to be here.
Beck, let's talk about your work. We're talking on Wednesday, December 16th in 2020. You're in New Haven. It's still peak of pandemic. So I guess just to ask you a little bit about what's happening, we want to talk about what's going on with your studio, but I know that's changed. So what's happened in the last 7 months regarding, I guess, the change of your studio and your studio practice?
Well, I moved out of my studio in April into my garage with my partner, who is also an artist. Her name's Camille Altai. She's a painter. And we, you know, just decided that we should be working from home as everyone else. And we spent the summer outside. Camille built us a greenhouse last fall. And so then we did an installation exhibition with, as part of a collaboration at the Yale School of Architecture called Garden Pleasure, which the work in our garden sort of led to. And that project was really interesting because it sort of positions the garden as a social space and a sort of egalitarian point of intersection. And that's really exciting to me. So I think one of the things that, so to, you know, jump back and then jump forward, one of the things that happened in the spring is that because we had this greenhouse already, a hoop house already established, right when the pandemic hit, our garden exploded with all of the food that we had been sort of nursing along all winter. And there was more than we could possibly consume sort of ahead of what would be seasonal in this area. So we started a front porch, pay what you can, farm stand, and maintained that throughout the summer. We called it Produce for the People, or Produce People. And that was really satisfying and a great way to engage practice, not just art per se, but, you know, just the act of making and sharing, producing. I love the combination, like producing. Having a contact-free way to share the abundance that we were experiencing at a moment where it was really needed. And that ended up being a really, really nice point of contact through to our community. We live in the West River area, and it's a bit of a food desert over here. And it was just great. We're like right next to St. Raphael's Hospital, and, you know, it was a pay what you can. You could pay with Bitcoin or cash or Venmo. And we got so many amazing notes and emails and, you know, reconnected with people that we hadn't talked to in a long time. So that was really interesting and like really grounded our practice in the garden during the pandemic and made the studio feel completely irrelevant. Like I can't believe that we ever worked in a blown out warehouse. And I will never do that again. Because just this, you know, like tiny little patch of land kept me entertained for thousands of hours.
That's great. So that was what you and your partner did together, essentially, this project.
Yeah.
That was a farm stand that was also generous. And what months were that? So that was the whole summer that ran?
That was April. So we started that in April, like right, you know, it was just right when the pandemic hit and we just had so much lettuce, arugula, and we ran that through September.
Mm. And so how did that was your practice for the summer, or how does that affect your practice? What else was happening for you in terms of that? Was that the practice for the summer? How will you move forward with your own work?
So part of what I ended up doing during that time was hanging out with the bees and my macro lens. I'm a photographer by trade. And I spent a lot of time close looking at the micro universe that sort of gathered around what we had planted. And I'm not sure what I'll do with those photographs. But the act of making them was really satisfying in and of itself. It's very contemplative, and it is not easy to photograph insects. but it was really
fun. Yeah, that's
true. So this summer,
yeah, no, go on. So this summer was kind of a very unusual project that seems pandemic specific, and it also changed the way you're looking at the world and the content you're using. I mean, is that correct, or go on with what else happened next?
Yeah, absolutely. When I lived in New York, I did a lot of work photographing accessories and in sort of a fashion context. I did a lot of detail work around beauty and accessories. So I think it was fun to kind of apply that aesthetic to something more quotidian. And it's like, you know, glamour shots of the unseen is, or underappreciated, is a place that when I feel that connection happening between like concept and visual, I get really excited. Mm. I love making really glossy pictures of things that people might not otherwise notice.
That's clear. So what's next? What are you doing now? The garden is finished, right? In that process. So what's happening now or for the foreseeable future?
Okay. Well, I have a couple things going on. I had a exhibition, or I was part of an exhibition at Art Space New Haven that ran from October 30th until it came down Monday. So it ran through, I guess, this weekend. And that was a portrait project. The exhibition was called Who Governs? And it was a look at the history of governance in New Haven. And I made, it was based on a book by Robert Dahl, who was a political science professor at Yale and published a really famous book about New Haven politics 50 years ago. So that was sort of the prompt for the exhibition. So I made portraits of the leaders of New Haven's Black Lives Matter movement and other political activists and sort of presented them as campaign posters. As sort of a, you know, glamour shots of the people who should be in power, in my opinion, or who are actually the power, you know, the like community leaders are the ones who make it, who make community happen, who make it possible for someone to run a grassroots campaign, for example. And that was also a really important part of life in New Haven this summer, and all over the country. Like the work that has been and continues to be done to bring awareness to underserved populations and shine light on inequalities that have long, you know, held way too long.
Right. And
so
agreed.
I wanted to make,
No, go on. So you wanted to make, yeah, no, it's okay. So you wanted to make a...
Power portraits of these badass people.
and that's exciting. So that just came down. So congratulations on that show. And you said there was something else going on, too, that you wanted to mention?
Yeah. So a really different iteration of my practice started 2 years ago. I curated a group show in New York that was inspired by a piece of work I saw on Instagram, and I contacted the artist, who turned out to be Argentinian, and I arranged to bring a sculpture of that he had made of Medusa, titled Medusa with the Head of Perseus. So it's an inversion of the famous Perseus with the Head of Medusa by Cellini. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful sculpture, but also a really fun and unapologetic sort of revisionist history retelling of a tale from the perspective of Medusa in a position of power. And so I started working on that 2 years ago and initiated an exhibition that was supposed to happen in April, but it was postponed. And so we were able to, it's a little complicated. So let me know if you need further explanation, because it started 2 years ago and I did a small group show with the work, but at that time, got funding to produce a bronze of the 7-foot statue, with the caveat that if I could find a place to put the bronze, then we could produce it. So I started looking for a place to put it and applied to New York City Parks Art in the Park program and got approved. And so in October, we installed the 7-foot bronze in Collect Pond Park, which is the park directly across from the New York County Criminal Courthouse, which is like where Harvey Weinstein was tried, for example. One of the things that happened with this sculpture is that it sort of became a avatar of feminist rage, and a lot of women have sort of put this image in their consciousness as an emblem of the Me Too movement. And so I started a company called Myth Project.
Called Myth Project? What was the name of it? Myth.
It's called
MYTH.
It's pronounced MYTH, but it's actually spelled MWTH.
Okay.
Because it stands for Medusa with the head. But we pronounce it Myth.
I like that. So go on. So that's happening next. That's what you're working on?
So the 7-foot bronze is currently installed in Collect Pond Park, which is at Center and Leonard Street in Lower Manhattan. And it will be there until April 2021.
That's exciting.
And what I'm doing currently is producing replicas in a range of sizes and price points, with the sort of intention of spreading idols and icons of this cultural reorientation as centered in this work.
I like that. That's cool. That's exciting.
it's very entertaining.
yeah, that's cool. So, Beck, let me ask you one more question. What are you reading at the moment?
Well, I have been very busy with my hands and so have not spent a lot of time reading, but I have been listening. The most recent two books that I've been listening to on Audible in rotation is She Said by Jodi Kantor and Megan Twohy. I think that's how you say it. Who are basically the journalists that took down Harvey Weinstein with the New York Times. And it's awesome. I mean, it's about journalism. It's about power. It's about fear. It's really about Me Too, and how that happened. And it's really about, like, the power of a collective voice. And that's really inspiring, you know, like, as a mass of people, there's so much that's possible, that can't be done as an individual. I think that's really the takeaway for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, that's an important, book, and glad you're talking about that. So, Beck, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today, and I wish you and your partner well with future work and projects, and look forward to seeing your work in Lower Manhattan as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. If you want to visit the Myth Project website, it's mwthproject.com.
Okay.
You can read a little bit more about the project there.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
All right. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.